Hello, friends. How about an amazing fact? Little Tyke, a female African lion, born and raised in America, lived her entire life without ever eating meat. In fact, her owners, George and Margaret Westbue, alarmed at the lion's dislike of meat, went to great lengths to try and coax their unusual pet to develop a taste for it. They even advertised a cash reward for anyone who could devise a meat-containing formula that the lioness would like. The curator of a New York zoo advised the Westbues of putting a few drops of milk or blood in the lion's milk, but the lioness refused to drink the milk, even when only a single drop of blood had been added. Meanwhile, Little Tyke continued to do extremely well on a daily diet of cooked grains, raw eggs, and milk. By 4 years of age, she was a fully grown lion and weighed 352 pounds. To condition her teeth and gums, as she refused to gnaw on bones, Little Tyke was given heavy rubber boots to chew on, which generally lasted about 3 weeks. The lioness not only survived on a vegetarian diet, but she thrived. One of America's most able zoo curators apparently said that the lioness was the best of her species he had ever viewed. As Little Tyke and the Westbues also had sheep and cattle on their 100-acre ranch, visitors to the ranch were often amazed to see a full-grown African lioness wandering peacefully amongst the sheep and the cattle, and even chewing on succulent tall grass in the field. Did you know, friends, that the Bible predicts that one day every lion on earth will be vegetarian? Stay tuned for more, as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live. Welcome to Bible Answers Live, brought to you by Amazing Facts Ministries. Are you looking for a clear, concise answer to your most challenging Bible questions? Maybe you're struggling to understand difficult passages of Scripture. If so, you've come to the right place. Join us now as we open God's Word to discover His will and find honest, practical answers to your Bible-related questions. This broadcast is pre-recorded. If you have a Bible question, call us Sundays from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, let's join our host, author, speaker, and evangelist, Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. Welcome back. This is Pastor John Ross. Pastor Doug Batchelor is out this evening. And welcome to Bible Answers Live. This is a live, interactive, national and international Bible study. If you have a Bible-related question, you can call our resource number and get on the air tonight. The number to call right into the studio is 1-800-GOD-SAYS. That's 1-800-463-7297. The phone lines are open, and there's a few lines that are available, so I'd encourage you to call in with your question now. Again, that number right here to the studio is 1-800-GOD-SAYS. 1-800-463-7297. My name is Pastor John Ross, and sitting in alongside me here is Broad Boyd. He is the Director of Media for Amazing Facts. Broad, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Ross. It's such a great opportunity to not be chained to my desk this weekend.
That's right, and we appreciate you joining us here and fitting in for us. Broad, would you begin the program with a word of prayer this evening?
Certainly. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to see another day. We ask now for your blessings on this program, but also on the listeners to this program. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. We started the program with an amazing fact about a vegetarian lion, Little Tyke, who refused to eat meat. He did very well on a vegetarian diet, which is remarkable. But you know, friends, the Bible says that a time will come where every lion on earth will be vegetarian. Let me read the verse. You'll find it in Isaiah chapter 11, and it's verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them." Then in verse 7, "And the cow and the bear shall feed together, and their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox." So the Bible speaks of a time when every animal will be vegetarian. There won't be lions chasing springbok or wildebeest or anything like that, but they will be at peace with all of the animals, and they'll be eating straw. That, of course, is a description of the world made new, the place that God is preparing for those that love Him. And we have a study guide that deals with this subject of the earth made new, talking about heaven. And if you'd like to receive that, it's an amazing fact study guide, and it's entitled A Colossal City in Space. It's free, friends. All you'll have to do is call the resource number. And, Broad, what is that number?
1-800-835-6747.
And again?
800-835-6747.
All right. And the free offer tonight is A Colossal City in Space. And if you'd like to receive it, please be sure to call that resource number, and we'd be happy to send it out to you. At the beginning of each program, we like to take a few Internet questions. And by the way, friends, if you would like to send us a question via the Internet, you can go to the Amazing Facts website. It's www.amazingfacts.org. And there is a link that says Contact Us, and you can click on that link, and you will be able to then give us your Internet question. The first question that we have tonight: how can heaven be a happy place when the saved think of the loved ones who are lost? Well, that's a good question. Will heaven be a place of joy, knowing that family members, perhaps, or friends are not there in that beautiful heavenly home that God is preparing? Well, the Bible says that the time will come when God will wipe away all tears from every eye. That's Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. So, surrounded by the beauties and the joys of the new earth, God's redeemed people will forget the tragedies and the heartache of the past. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17 says, "The former things shall not be remembered, nor come into mind." Broad, that's a tremendous promise, that one day there'll be no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, and the pain and even the painful memories of this earth we will remember no more. That gives us great hope, doesn't it?
Amen. It does.
And we look forward to that day, right?
I do. Yes.
We live towards that day. Well, the second question that we have has to do with an important question. Will little babies who die be saved in God's kingdom? Perhaps some of you who are listening have suffered the terrible tragedy of laying your child, a little baby, in the grave. Does the Bible give hope for those who have experienced this tragedy? Will little babies be saved? Now, the Bible doesn't give a specific answer to the question, but many people choose to believe that infants will be saved based upon Matthew chapter 2, and it's verse 16 through 18. In this passage, the Bible speaks of wicked King Herod and his decree to destroy all of the babies in Bethlehem that were 2 years old and younger. The Old Testament also foretold this tragedy. And in the Old Testament, it describes this event in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 16 and 17. And in Jeremiah 31, 16, the Bible says, "Refrain thy voice from weeping. They," that's the slain children, "shall come again from the land of the enemy." Then it goes on and says, "Thy children shall come again to their own border." So Jeremiah 31, 16 and 17 is a clear reference then to the resurrection. So based upon this instance that we have in the Old Testament, this prophecy pointing to that terrible ordeal where the babies were destroyed by King Herod, there is the promise and the hope that one day God will resurrect those beautiful children, place them in the hands of their mothers or their fathers in that beautiful resurrection morning. And that's the hope of the Christian, isn't it?
Amen.
We look forward to that glorious day. Well, friends, again, we want to remind you of the free offer tonight. It is entitled A Colossal City in Space, and it deals with the subject of heaven. And if you would like to receive that, just call the resource number. Broad, would you give us that number again?
Sure. The number is 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747.
And if you have a question that you would like to get on the air tonight, the number to call right here into the studio is 1-800-GOD-SAYS. That's 1-800-463-7297. We have some phone lines that are still open, so this is a good time for you to call. We're going to go to the phone lines now.
Sure, Pastor Ross. We have Diego calling from Huntsville, Alabama. He's listening to us on WOCG. Diego, you're live on Bible Answers.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. And your question tonight, Diego?
Yeah, I want to know, in the Bible, does it mention anything about dinosaurs? What about dinosaurs in the Bible?
You know, that's a good question. There is a passage that you find in the book of Job that describes creatures that we don't quite know of today, that we're not familiar with. And some have felt that could refer to dinosaurs. It describes Leviathan as being a sea-dwelling creature and speaks of him as actually breathing out smoke out of his nostrils. And some have felt that there were dinosaurs that did have chambers in their skulls that allowed for certain chemicals that could be combined and actually breathed out. And it had sort of an acid or almost a fire-like nature when these dinosaurs breathed out this combination. There is also a description in the book of Job of an animal that has a tail likened to a cedar tree. And it has large legs likened to trees as well. And it's a big animal and it eats grass and it lives by the reeds. Some have looked at that and said, well, perhaps that could refer to an elephant. But if you think of an elephant does have large round legs like a tree.
Right.
But of course, the tail of an elephant is very, it's like a string. It's not thick like a cedar in the least. And so based upon these two descriptions that we find in the book of Job, that's where you'll find it, many have concluded that this is a description of dinosaurs. Now, of course, what happened to the dinosaurs? Well, they were probably destroyed at the time of the flood.
Okay.
And so that's where we have the fossil record as the flood waters came.
The book of Job is a little older than before the flood then.
Well, the book of Job is believed to be the story of Job is believed to have been the oldest recorded story. It was written by Moses. Many believe that it was written during Moses' wanderings in the wilderness. But the actual story of Job and what happened in his life, they believe to have been the oldest. Now, it could have very well been shortly after the flood that the experience of Job happened, and some of the animals were still fresh in the minds of the people, you know, through legend, through story. So they don't believe that Job's experience was before the flood. They believe that it was after the flood, but it was the closest to the flood.
Okay.
So it's an interesting subject. It's fascinating to look at, but I would encourage you, take a look at the book of Job. And it's in the last few chapters that it has this description of Leviathan, and Behemoth is the other one that these two great creatures that the Bible describes.
I definitely will, and I appreciate it so much, man.
All right, you're welcome. Well, thank you for calling.
Pastor Ross, we have Michael calling from his cell phone in Ohio. We're hoping that he's pulled over.
All right.
Michael, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Michael. Thank you very much. I was listening to your program, which I listen to quite a bit over the road when I can catch you, and I did have a question for you tonight.
Yes.
And my question was, how would you refer the capture of Binyamin in the book of Revelation as far as America being troubled? Because I'm looking at Armageddon right in our face, and this is a fear factor that I feel America is dealing with. And I wanted to know if you could answer those questions for me.
Sure, great question. What does the current situation in the Middle East have on Bible prophecy? How does it relate? Well, you know, there is a verse, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, and it's speaking of the times that we are now living in. And it says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, Daniel 12 verse 1, the great prince that stands for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that is found written in the book. And then Daniel 12, verse 2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So here is a prophecy, Daniel chapter 12, 1 and 2. It describes a time of trouble that will be worse than any that the world has ever seen. Now that's a startling thought. You think of World War I, World War II, some of the other things that this world has gone through. And here the Bible describes a time of trouble that will be even greater than all of those things that have happened in the past. However, we need to take courage, because in the same verse that speaks of this great time of trouble, it also promises that those who are found written in the book, of course that's the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be delivered. So those written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be delivered. So that does give us courage and hope. Does that help, Michael?
That helps quite a bit. Thank you very much.
Michael,
and a great enlightenment.
All right. Well, we appreciate your call. Let me give you a resource that I think you'd find interesting. It deals with the second coming of Jesus. It talks about difficulties in the earth, the time of trouble, things related to Armageddon. It is called The Ultimate Deliverance, and it speaks concerning the second coming of Jesus. We'd be happy to send that out to you. It's free. All you'll need to do is call the resource number.
That number is 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747.
And again, the free offer is The Ultimate Deliverance. Just call that resource number, and we'll be happy to send it out to you. Again, friends, if you have a Bible-related question, the number to call is 1-800-GOD-SAYS, 1-800-463-7297. We'll go to the phone lines again. Our next caller.
Pastor Ross, we have Carolyn calling from KFIA in Auburn, California. She has an interesting question.
Okay, what's the question?
Carolyn, you're on the air.
Carolyn, you there?
I'm here.
Hi, welcome to the program. Glad we managed to connect with you and your question today.
Yes, I almost lost you. I had a friend who asked me a question that I couldn't answer, and it's the passage in Hosea chapter 1, verse 2, where the Lord told the prophet Hosea to take a prostitute as a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered if you could tell me why.
Okay, that's a good question. Let me read the verse. It's Hosea chapter 1, and it's verse 2. And listen carefully to the last part of the verse, because it helps to explain why God had told the prophet Hosea to do this. It says, "The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, Go and take unto thee a wife of the whoredoms, of the children of the whoredoms," that's a prostitute. And then he says why, "For the land has committed great whoredom, departing from the Lord." So in the experience of Hosea and his wife, there is a demonstration of what Israel had done to God. Now, it's an interesting symbolism that we find throughout the scripture in the Bible. A woman often represents a church.
Okay.
And Jesus is described as the bridegroom, and of course the church then would be described as the bride. The Bible says that we are to be espoused to Jesus, who is the bridegroom. The church is the bride. Here in the experience of Hosea, God gave Israel an object lesson of what they were doing to him. And if you read through the whole story of Hosea, he marries this woman, but she keeps running off on him.
Right.
And he keeps accepting her and taking her back. And it's a demonstration of God's love and compassion for Israel, because Israel would often leave the worship of him, of God, and follow Baal and the gods around them of the heathen nations. And the Bible speaks of that as them whoring after these pagan gods. So in the story of Hosea, we have a demonstration of God's love for his church.
Very good. Well, that certainly makes sense. I really appreciate that Bible answer.
Well, thanks for calling. We appreciate it, Carolyn. You know, we do have a free offer that speaks concerning the church.
Okay.
And where we have the symbolism of a woman in Bible prophecy representing a church. It is called The Bride of Christ.
Okay.
And it's free. All you'll need to do is just call the resource number and, again, ask for that free resource called The Bride of Christ. And, Brad, would you give us that number once more?
Sure. That number is 1-800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747.
All right. And, by the way, let me add to that as well. We have the one study guide called The Bride of Christ, which is a study of Revelation chapter 12, where a woman is seen standing upon the moon. She's clothed with the sun. She has a crown of 12 stars upon her head, and that's the symbol of God's church. She's a symbol of purity. But then in Revelation chapter 17, there is another woman described riding upon a scarlet-colored beast, and she has on her forehead the name Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And she's a description of churches that have fallen from the truths of God's word. So are we going to make that other offer, that other resource available as well? Not only the Bride of Christ, but if you want to read about Revelation chapter 17 and the woman described there by the name of Babylon and what she symbolizes, you might want to call and ask for the other offer called The Other Woman. So on the one hand, you have the Bride of Christ, and then ask for the study guide, The Other Woman. And, Brad, could you give us that number again?
Sure. You can ask for both offers at 800-835-6747. And, again, that's 1-800-835-6747.
All right. Well, thank you, Carolyn, for your call. We're going to go to our next caller.
Sure. Pastor Ross, we have Hector He's listening to us on the internet, and he's calling from, looks like, Danburg, Kentucky. Or Connecticut, I'm sorry. Danburg, Connecticut. Hector, you're on the air.
Hello, Pastor. How you doing?
Good, thank you, Hector.
My question is, well, let me give you a little bit of the background of why I'm asking this question. I see Jesus in the Bible rebuking the Pharisees and the Sadducees openly, in the open, and, you know, without being apologetic. Mm-hmm. I see Paul confronting Peter about something in the Bible, which is a discussion about theology. That's what the way I see it. But I see my church, which is your church, kind of running away from debates, and I'm wondering if it's biblical to have debates with other brothers of different members of other churches and stuff like that, or is it better not to just touch the point, whatever you believe is fine and whatever I believe is fine?
All right, it's a good question. I think, first of all, we need to establish the fact that the Bible does declare the truth. And truth, if it's going to be truth, is singular. In other words, there's not a variety of truths. The Bible clearly defines truth. And it is of great value and important for us to study the Word of God so that we can know the truth. You know, Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So it's significant to know and understand the truth. We also want to witness and share the truths that we have learned from God's Word. Now, at times, that might require a discussion. You might even say a debate. However, we want to be careful. There are some debates that are helpful in our understanding of truth and can actually build a person's faith in the Word of God. But there are other debates that end up being arguments where people just argue their point of view and they have no real intent in seeking what the Bible says. They begin to look for Scripture to defend their particular position and they don't have an open mind to understand and know the truth as it's revealed in the Bible. So those types of debates where it's just me defending my position and you defending yours, and it goes back and forth, I don't know how productive they are. But if there is a sincere desire to understand and know the truth and to study the Word of God, I could see that as being very helpful.
So what you're saying is that is it biblical then to have a debate? If you're invited to a debate right now, would you go by another denomination, let's say?
If I'm invited to go and share something,
let's say
from
you are invited right now to say, prove me that the Sabbath day is the seventh day of the week or something like that, and you have to go and defend that. Would you go and do it? And
yes, absolutely. If somebody asks us to defend our position on truth, we should be willing to do that. The Bible says, be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks you of the hope within you. So in that type of situation, if someone invites you to come and share, do it. But in the discussion, if it ends up just being an argument, it's better just to hold your peace because you're not profiting anything. So there is a place for studying the Word of God, and at times it might be spirited as people have different opinions and different views, and there's nothing wrong in discussing the Word of God and looking for biblical evidence. But we want to study the Word of God for the purpose of finding truth, not just defending our particular point of view. So I think that's the key that we want to bear in mind when we do this, Hector.
Thank you. That actually satisfies my curiosity.
All right, good. Well, again, Hector, we appreciate your call. You know, again, it's the motive that's behind the debate. If it's just for me to prove my particular position or point of view, how helpful is that? But if I'm there wanting to share truth, you know, I'm reminded of an instance where the Apostle Paul was in Athens. You can read about this in the book of Acts. And he was reasoning with the people in Athens. And he argued with them, he debated with them, trying to prove to them the truths of Christ, the truth of the resurrection. He had some success, but not as much as he would have liked. Later on, we find the Apostle Paul writing and says, "I will know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." I think Paul realized that debate has a purpose, but the greatest argument of all is presenting Jesus, him and him crucified. That softens the heart. And that opens up the mind to understanding more truths. Amen. All right, well, let's go to our next caller.
Sure, we have Joseph calling from New York, New York. He's listening to us on WMCA. Welcome, Joseph. You're live.
Hello, Pastor.
Hi, Joseph. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Pastor, up until recently, I thought that the Annunciation to the Virgin Mary was singular. And I've recently learned that there was an Annunciation to John the Baptist's father.
Yes.
And there was one to Samson's parents.
Yes.
were there many other annunciations like that?
That's a good question. We have the examples given that you quoted. Zechariah was in the temple, and the angel appeared and said that he would have a son. And, of course, Zechariah at first questioned how this could be, and the angel said, I stand in the presence of God. And as a sign, you won't be able to speak until the son is born. And, of course, that relates to John the Baptist. Then, of
John,
course,
was John a Jewish name?
John was a Jewish name. I don't. They didn't refer to it as, you know, we would say John, but there was a Aramaic way of saying John. I'm not sure exactly what the Aramaic way of saying it was.
Okay.
Then, of course, you have the announcement to Mary of the birth of Jesus. You have the announcement of Samson that he would be born. We have seven instances in the Bible where there are miraculous births. If you look at the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all of their wives were in some form barren, and the birth of their children were miraculous. You also have the instance in Scripture where the prophet Elisha prays for the woman, the Shunammite woman, and she is able to have a son. You have, of course, the experience of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and they have a son. And then you have the birth of Jesus. So you have these instances in Scripture, these miraculous or special births. We know of the three where an angel actually announced that. But other than that, we are not specifically told that an angel announced that.
The angel was always Gabriel, wasn't it?
Often it was Gabriel, yes.
By the way, sir, you mentioned a little earlier to a gentleman concerning Hosea. Was that symbolic or was that a true story about
According to the actual account that we have there of Hosea, it was a true story. It describes his experience with this woman that he married, and they had children. And she had deserted him on a number of occasions, and he would go find her and bring her back. Okay. And so it was a living example of what Israel was doing to God.
So the answer to your question was that there was only three annunciations by angels.
As far as I know, related to the birth of a child, I know of three. Of course, Abraham's with Sarah, that was also an announcement, but that was God himself. When God said to Abraham that he'd have a son. But other than that, we know of the three examples where an angel came.
Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome, Joseph. Thank you for your call. I think we might have time for one more call. Let's give it a quick try.
Hey, we have Deborah calling from Detroit, Michigan. Deborah, you're on the air listening to us on WMUZ.
Hi, Deborah. Welcome to the question you'll have to ask quick. We have 1 minute before the break.
Hi, Pastor. Thank you. I'm calling. I would like to know, I love your program. It's teaching me a lot of things. Why did Jesus Christ have to die for our sins?
All right. That's probably one of the most important questions that anyone can ask. Why did Jesus have to die for our sins? Deborah, I'm going to tell you what. I hear the music playing there in the background, and that means that we are coming up on our break. But your question is very important. So either you can hold or you can go and listen on your radio. And when we come back from our break, we would want to deal with that question in more detail because it is such an important question. Why did Jesus have to die for our sins? Friends, again, we're going to take just a short break. You'll have some important announcements that will be given. And then right after the break, don't go away. We have another half an hour of Bible Answers Live. And we'll open up the phone lines and you'll have a chance to ask your question. And we'll also give some great resources. So again, just hold on, listen to the important announcements. And after the break, we'll be back.
Don't go away. There's more Bible Answers Live in just a moment. Don't forget to tune in to Pastor Batchelor's weekly television broadcast, Amazing Facts, which is aired on major networks, including Black Entertainment Television, iNetwork, Black Family Channel, Vision TV, and Superstation KVLA. Check your local listings or contact us to find out when and on what channel the programs will be aired. Are you in need of additional Bible-based materials for further study? Consider Amazing Facts free correspondence Bible study course, or our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. 800-835-6747. Don't forget, friends, Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry, operating only by God's blessings through your prayers and financial gifts. We'd love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. Welcome back to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. This broadcast is pre-recorded. If you have a Bible-related question, you can call us from 7 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Sundays and receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. Call 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, please join us as we look to God's Word for more Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist, Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Bible Answers Live. My name is John Ross. Pastor Doug Batchelor is out this evening. We'd like to remind you that this is a live, interactive Bible study. And if you have a Bible-related question, the number to call right into the studio is 1-800-GOD-SAYS. That's 1-800-463-7297. Again, 1-800-GOD-SAYS, 463-7297. We have... Oh, it looks like about three lines that are now open. So if this is a good time for you to call in if you'd like to get your question on the air. We have Deborah that is holding, and we want to come back to you, Deborah. But just before we do that, we'd like to give you some great resources that I trust will help in your study of God's Word. Of course, the Amazing Facts website, just www.amazingfacts.org, has a number of great resources. You can go and actually listen to archived Bible Answer Live programs. There is also a number of studies that's available. And the resources that we offer throughout the hour are also available at the Amazing Facts website. We also have a website dedicated to the subject of the Sabbath. It's called sabbathtruth.com or .org. And it explains the truth of the Sabbath and how do we understand that from a biblical position. There is another website broad, and that is on hell truth. Sometimes people ask the question, what happens to the wicked? Are they burning right now in hell? Well, that website has a number of great resources that will help. Again, my name is John Ross, and sitting in for helping me here in the studio is Broad Boyd. He is the media director at Amazing Facts. Broad, again, thank you for stepping in and helping this evening.
No problem. This is a great treat.
All right. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Deborah is on hold on line 5.
Okay. And Deborah, you're live on the air.
Deborah, you still there?
Well, let's try her again. Deborah, you're live on the air.
Okay.
All right, Deborah, you back with us.
Yeah.
All right, your question was, why did Jesus have to die? Well, you know, that's a very good and important question. Christ died to satisfy the death penalty against us. You see, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Jesus died to pay the death penalty. He was born as a man so that he could suffer the kind of death that you and I deserve. He then offered to give us credit for his death. In other words, his sinless life is credited to our account, and we are accounted worthy because of what Jesus did for us. In other words, we're condemned to die. But in order for us to pay the penalty of breaking God's law, that would require eternal death. Jesus, because of his compassion towards us, stepped in and took our place and said, I will die in your place. I will die for your sins. And then when you confess your sins and exercise faith in me, I will account my righteous life in place of your sinful life. And it's remarkable, this transaction that takes place. We come to Jesus sinful, and he will take our sins and give us his righteousness. That's the great centerpiece of the Christian's hope, is the death of Jesus.
Okay, thank you so much. That explains it. I listen to your program, and I do go on the website, and I get a lot of my information, and it's given me a lot of understanding. Thank you so much.
Good. Well, thank you, Deborah. Let me give you just two verses that gives us courage. The first is 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus, we're adopted into God's family. We are sons and daughters of God. We were at one time enemies of God, but because of what Jesus has done for us, and by exercising faith in his sacrifice, we become the sons of God. And then John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, that's Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
So not only do we receive forgiveness when we put our faith in Jesus, but we also receive power to live a holy life that brings glory to God. You know, Brad, we've got a study guide entitled Rescue from Above that deals with the subject of salvation. It talks about the death of Jesus and its significance to us today. Rescue from Above. How do folks get this free offer?
You can call our 800 number at 1-800-835-6747. That's 1-800-835-6747 and ask for Rescue from Above.
All right, and that's a great resource. You can also see it at the Amazing Facts website if you'd wish to go there. If you don't want to wait for it to get to you in the mail, just go ahead and go to the Amazing Facts website. We're going to go to our next caller.
Sure, Pastor Ross. We have Daniel listening over the internet, and he's calling from Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Daniel. You're live.
Yes, very quickly. I'm a little bit puzzled because the internet stream I'm hearing from 3ABN is not coinciding with what I'm hearing on hold. I did mute the speakers, though, but I just wanted to tell you that because I heard you talking to Earl and Victor on the internet, but you were talking to Deborah.
All right. Well, we do know that there is a little bit of a delay. I forget what it is, a 5-second delay. Is it completely a different topic?
Oh, it's completely different. I just thought you should know that.
Oh, all right. Well, we appreciate you bringing that to our attention.
Because I was going to hang up and hear the reply to my question, but I can't do that.
You better hold on. That's a good point. Well, what is your question tonight, Daniel?
Well, here we go. You know, on the wrong stream on the internet, which it's still good stuff, but I heard you talking about the new heaven and new earth thing.
Yes.
And I guess what I wonder is if there are really going to be people born on the other side or in heaven or on the new earth or whatever it's going to be, I kind of worry that could there be any possibility that we might envy them since we didn't grow up in a perfect world and here we are in a crazy fallen world? I know that may sound kind of dumb, but...
Well, that's a good question. First of all, let me address the question, will people be born in heaven, and will people be born in the new earth? The answer to that is no, people won't be born in heaven. How do we know that? Well, there was an occasion where the people asked Jesus, and they said to him, in the resurrection, who's going to be married?
Oh, yes, and he said, in the resurrection, people will be like the angels.
That's right, that's right. And, of course, we know the angels don't procreate.
Oh, no.
So in heaven, there won't be people born. In the new earth, the Bible does speak in Isaiah of little children growing up. It actually uses the phrase, a little child shall die at 100. Now, when it speaks about a little child dying, it's not talking about physical death, but it's talking about ceasing.
No, but it means that he might mature at a later age.
That's
than
right.
He
will grow a lot slower than children do now. So we understand that from Scripture, in heaven as well as in the new earth, children will grow up, but there will come a time where there will be no more children in heaven. I think that'll make their time in heaven even more precious. But no, people won't be born in heaven, from what we understand.
Yeah, I guess what I wonder is there any chance that we might, maybe not envy is the right word, but that we might regret that we didn't grow up in that perfect world.
Okay, good question.
Let me
give a try at that. You know, we look at what's happened here in this world with all of the sin and the pain and the suffering, and, you know, we ask the question, Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Now, of course, God has promised that if we exercise faith in Him and put our trust in Him, He's promised that one day He's going to make everything right. You know, in the world made new, there'll be no pain, no sickness, no death, no sorrow. But there is something else we need to bear in mind. Because of sin and because of the suffering and the death that we've experienced here on this earth, God in His mercy has drawn close to us. Jesus became one with us. He was God manifest in the flesh. And we are drawn closer to Jesus because of the sin problem than we could have ever been if there had been no sin in the universe. So in a sense, even though sin is a curse, God has been able to turn it around and make it into a blessing for those who put their faith in Jesus. And we will be able to experience the love of God and His grace in a way that we would have never been able to experience it if we had not experienced the pain and the suffering that we have here on this earth. Does that help, Daniel?
I think, but I guess that's something I'm going to have to really meditate on.
Well, think about it, because
these things are deep.
That's right, and it is good news. I mean, despite the pain and the sorrow that we have on this earth, when God makes all things new, we will actually be closer to God and experience his love in a way that we otherwise couldn't experience. I sometimes think of the illustration of, let's just say a person is drowning in a river, and we're standing on the bank watching this happen, and somebody rushes in as we're standing there looking, and somebody rushes into this raging river and risks his own life to rescue that person. And with great danger to himself, he reaches the person, he drags him to safety. And of course, we're standing on the bank and we're applauding and we're saying, how wonderful, how brave of this man to rescue, to risk his life for this other person. And we might feel a sense of awe and respect for this person, but we will never be able to experience the gratitude that that person who was rescued will feel to the one who rescued him. And so it is with us and God. The angels stand and look at what God has done. Without a doubt, they worship him because of his love and his grace in coming and dying here for us. But they can never experience the joy that we're experiencing because we're the ones that are recipients of the grace of Jesus through his atoning sacrifice. You know, so it does create a special relationship with us.
You know, Pastor Ross, Daniel mentioned whether or not we would be envious or even jealous. And heaven is such a beautiful experience. We won't even have time to... to do that. It's such a wonderful feeling. You know, it's kind of like a child. If your mom bought you a popsicle and then the neighbor bought a popsicle, you don't care who bought it. You're just happy that you got it.
That's right. You know, no one in heaven is going to look at somebody else's gift or somebody else's mansion and say, oh man, why can't mine be that big?
Right.
We're just going to be happy to be there, right?
Amen.
And we will be satisfied. You know, the Bible says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So that's where we put our faith and our comfort. We're going to go to the next caller.
Okay. Pastor Ross, we have Angie listening on KNDL in California. Angie, you're live.
Hi, Pastor Ross. I have a question. It's about 1 Corinthians 13, 9, and 10. It says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. I'm just wondering what that means.
Okay. What he's referring to here, when he says that which is perfect is come, he's speaking about the second coming of Jesus, when all things are made complete and perfect. In other words, we cannot fully comprehend what God has in store for us. As I just mentioned, I quoted the verse just a little earlier, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for him. So even as we have revealed in the Word of God what heaven's going to be like and what God is preparing for those that love him, we cannot fully comprehend or experience what it is that God has. So we prophesy in part, we preach in part, we present the truths of God's Word. But it's not the whole thing because it's so great, it's bigger than we can even comprehend.
So is this why we will be studying to eternity?
We will. You know, the character of God will continually be our subject of study. And there'll be aspects of his love that'll be manifest throughout the universe, throughout endless ages, that will excite us. And we're never going to know everything about God. We'll study throughout eternity and there'll always be new things that we will discover and learn. So it's a continual broadening and understanding of who God is and his love for us.
It's basically a growing process, if you look at it in relation to our walk with God. So it's a growing process. It will never get there.
That's right. And you know, that's true even here on this earth. When a person receives Jesus as his personal Savior and commits his life to Christ, he begins to grow in his Christian walk, in his Christian life. And we all grow at different rates. But we grow as we behold Christ and as we meditate upon his word, as we surrender ourselves to him, we become more and more like him. And that will continue throughout all eternity. We'll continue to behold God and Christ and his love for us. And it will be a learning experience.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you for your call.
Amen. Pastor Ross, we have Wesley calling from Finger, Tennessee, and he's listening on WDNX. Wesley, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good.
I'm doing pretty good, too. Just had a question. It's about, you know, when Jesus was crucified.
Yes.
The other two men that were crucified with him.
Yes.
I went to church today and I was kind of just kind of, you know, thinking about it and said, well, you know, did they go to heaven with him when they were crucified with him? They all went through the entire pain of that, but did they, when they were, I guess, resurrected, did they you know, did they get resurrected also with him and go to heaven with him?
Okay. Well, first of all, we want to recognize that not both of the thieves exercised faith in God or in Christ. Only the one. The one reviled him and said, if you are the Son of God, come down off the cross and save us. The other thief said, how can you say this? We deserve what we're receiving, but this man, speaking of Jesus, he has done nothing amiss or he has done nothing wrong. And then, of course, that thief said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Jesus said to him that day, verily I say unto you today, you will be with me in paradise. So it's only the one thief that actually exercised faith in Christ. And we believe that that thief, according to the promise given to him by Jesus, will be saved. He will be resurrected when Jesus comes again.
So, I mean, well, what I was asking was the one thief, I guess.
Yes.
Who got crucified, was brought to paradise to with Jesus.
Okay, did he go to paradise that day? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, yes.
Okay, good question. You know, the answer to that is no, he didn't go to paradise with Jesus that day. I'll tell you why. Let me give you a couple verses on that as well. According to the Bible, when a person dies, he waits for the resurrection. And it's at the resurrection where a person is, you know, at the second coming of Jesus, that they receive the reward, or they go to paradise, or they go to heaven. And here's a couple of verses. You can maybe just jot them down. Speaking of the condition of those who are dead, Ecclesiastes 9, verse 5 and 6, it says, the living know that they will die, but the dead don't know anything. Job chapter 14, 12 says, the dead do not know what happens to them. Psalms 146, verse 4 says that when a person dies, his thoughts perish. And then we find Jesus in John 11, verse 11 through 14, he speaks of death as a sleep. So when a person dies and he has faith in Jesus, like the thief on the cross, the next conscious thought that that person has is the resurrection, which takes place at the second coming of Jesus. Now, of course, 1,000 years could have gone by, but the very next thing that that person knows is Jesus is coming with all of his angels, and he's resurrected, and he has his immortal body. He will never die. Now, some people ask, well, what about where Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise? Did that mean that the thief went with Jesus to paradise that day? First of all, I want you to note, the thief wasn't expecting to receive his reward that very day. The thief said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. So the thief wasn't expecting to go to heaven that day. Secondly, depending upon the original Greek that the New Testament is written in, it doesn't have commas like today. That was added later on with the translation of the Bible. And depending upon where you put the comma in that verse, it makes quite a difference in its meaning. If Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, comma, today you will be with me in paradise, that does give the idea that that very day Jesus was promising the thief that he'd be in paradise with him. But if you put the comma after the word today and say, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you today, comma, you will be with me in paradise. In other words, that very day when Jesus was hanging upon the cross, even though he didn't look like a king coming in his glory, but when the thief exercised faith in Jesus, Jesus gave him the assurance that very day that he would one day be with him in paradise. And then there's a number of scriptures that we have in the New Testament that speaks of the righteous receiving their reward when Jesus comes again. Does that help, Wesley?
It's really great. What did you say your name was?
Well, my name is John Ross.
John Ross?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me also remind you of a study guide that deals with this subject of what happens when a person dies, and it also refers to the resurrection. It's simply entitled, Are the Dead Really Dead? And all you need to do is just call the resource number, and we'll be happy to send that out to you.
Okay.
All right.
Great.
Here's the number you need to call.
Okay. That number is 1-800-835-6747. That's 1-800-835-6747.
And again, ask for the study guide, Are the Dead Really Dead? And, oh, by the way, Brad, we also have that online, the Amazing Facts website. Mm-hmm. So if Wesley or anybody else doesn't want to wait for the study guide to get to them in the mail, you can go to the Amazing Facts website and you can look it up there as well. Let's take our next caller.
Sure. We have Brian calling us from Dexter, Michigan. Brian, you're live.
Hi, Brian. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
My question was, and like I said, I'm going to try to, in Romans, it says about interior law. And it says about the people who even if they haven't heard of Jesus, they'll still be dealt with. I don't know if you can help me on that, about unbelievers.
Okay, I think you're referring to Romans chapter 1.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yes.
There in Romans chapter 1, Paul states that everyone is without excuse. He says even those who didn't understand the law, in other words, they didn't have the word of God, but yet through nature and through their conscience, God has revealed right and wrong. They will be judged based upon the knowledge that they have. So someone in the judgment, they can't say, well, Lord, you know, I grew up in India and I never had the Bible. God is still revealed through nature and through the conscience. There is still a right and wrong. Now, they might not live up to all the truth or all the light of the Word of God, but depending upon how they respond to the light that they've received, that's what determines their eternal destiny.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, that helps a lot. Thank you, Pastor.
All right, so God, you know, God is wanting to save. We've got to remember this. God is in the business of saving people. He wants to include people in heaven. He doesn't want to leave them out. And yet, every man is judged according to the light that they have. All right, let's take our next caller.
Sure. Pastor Ross, we have Tony calling from Fort Worth, Texas, listening to us on KJCR. Go ahead, Tony, you're live.
Hi, Pastor. My question to you is regarding sexual immorality. Earlier you had a caller on, I believe his name was Oscar, and I guess the outcome to his question was that the only reason that you could be divorced was because of sexual immorality. My question does that mean actual sexual immorality with somebody else, or can one divorce because wife withhold sex?
All right. Okay, I think I get what you're saying there, Tony. You know, sometimes people will take the phrase where Jesus says, if you look upon a woman and lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart, as being grounds now that a person can get divorced from their spouse. You know, I think that's going a little bit too far. Now, the Bible speaks, Jesus says, you are bound to your spouse except for the case of fornication or adultery. And even in today's term, we would consider that as if someone has been unfaithful to their spouse by going out and having an affair on them. You know, nobody is perfect. And I think we need to realize that even in our marriage relationships, there might be times that we say things or think things that are inappropriate. And we need to ask for forgiveness of our spouse if that happens. But that by no means is grounds to get a divorce. Marriage is a very sacred thing. And God's purpose and ideal is that a woman, a husband and wife, that they be married as long as they live. And we should be looking for as many opportunities as we can to reinforce and strengthen the marriage relationship. And of course, even if someone does go against their marriage vows, and if they do have an affair, it's not a guarantee that you have to divorce them. I think God's ideal is that you forgive them and that there be restoration that takes place in the marriage, and perhaps there needs to be some counseling involved. But God's ideal is that the marriage be an example of His relationship with us and the church. So that's what I have to say dealing with that. You know, we also have a study guide that deals with the subject of marriage. It's a great resource. It's called Keys to a Happy Marriage. And for anyone listening, whether you have a good marriage or a not so good marriage, you can get some great tips from the Word of God on how you can strengthen your marriage. It's called Keys to a Happy Marriage. Broad, what's the number for that?
Sure, it's 1-800-835-6747. That's 1-800-835-6747. Pastor Ross, I would even recommend that for some single folks as well.
Well, you know what? It deals with relationships, doesn't it?
Yeah,
the principles in a marriage relationship are also applicable in any type of interpersonal relationship. So that's some good counsel there.
Okay. I want to remind our callers, we have a few minutes left, that our lines are still open. 1-800-GOD-SAYS. 1-800-GOD-SAYS. Pastor Ross, we have Nancy calling from Bakersfield, California. She's listening to us on KFHL. Nancy, you are live.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
And your question tonight?
My question is about when you have an abortion, those babies going to be going to heaven?
All right, that's a good question. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us specifically, you know, that little babies are going to, or children that are aborted are going to be in heaven. But there are words of comfort. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, there are many people who believe that the verses that I'm going to give you here in just a minute do indicate that babies will be saved. First of all, let me give you a little bit of the background. We have the story in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 to 18 of King Herod. And he went out and destroyed all of the baby boys in Bethlehem from 2 years and younger. There is a prophecy in Jeremiah concerning this very event. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 16 and 17, the message is given to the mothers, "Refrain thy voice from weeping. They," that's the children, "shall come again from the land of the enemy. Thy children shall come again to their own border." So it's clearly speaking about the resurrection there. And this verse indicates, gives the idea that those babies will be resurrected when Jesus comes again. Now, does that relate to aborted babies? It might very well. We also know, according to Isaiah, that there will be children in the new earth. So putting these different verses together, I think there is sufficient evidence to say that little babies will be resurrected.
Also, is that also with miscarriages or stillbirths?
I think so. I think so. That's right. Any tragedy that happens to the child before born or while it's growing in the womb,
even if the parents or the or not, they're not saved, or
the child's salvation is not dependent upon the parents' decisions.
Okay, because so, I thought that it was like if you're saved and it's only your children are going to go, or and I've heard something like if children of parents who are not saved, they won't be going to heaven.
Right. No, we don't have that in the Bible.
Okay.
We don't have that in the Bible. I mean, a child is not to bear the iniquity of the father, the Bible tells us. Every man is judged according to what they know. And, of course, a child hasn't reached the age of accountability.
Okay.
All right, Nancy?
So what was it again? Matthew chapter...
You can look it up. Matthew chapter 2 is verse 16 through to verse 18.
Okay.
And then Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 16 and 17 is the Old Testament prophecy that relates to that experience that you have in Matthew.
Okay.
All right, Nancy. Well, we thank you for your call. Friends, again, we have run out of time. This has been a great interactive Bible study. We thank you for listening to the program. We want to also remind you of a number of great resources that Amazing Facts does have online, www.amazingfacts.org. You can click and listen to archived programs of Bible Answers Live. You can also watch audio sermons preached by Pastor Doug Batchelor. So we encourage you to take a look at that. Friends, we also would like to remind you that this is a faith-based ministry. We're on the air because of your prayers and financial support. So we encourage you to give us a call, and if you have a special prayer request, we'd love to pray with you. Well, friends, until next week, may God richly bless you as you study His Word.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Have you heard about the two new video sets by Pastor Doug Batchelor? The first one is for men only, called God's Mighty Men. And due to its sensitive content, we recommend it primarily for adult men only. God's Mighty Men is guaranteed to touch the hearts of men who want to lead their families, churches, and communities in Christ-like fashion. Using stories of the mighty men of the Bible, Pastor Doug shows men the way to holiness, personal responsibility, and how to live godly lives. This presentation is candid, convicting, humorous, and inspiring. It's a great gift for a special man in your life. Or, if you're a man, get it for yourself and find out how you can become the man God wants you to be. Pastor Doug's other new video series is called Prophecy's Final Four. In it, he clarifies the popular misconceptions regarding the tribulation, the 144,000, the millennium, and the rapture at the second coming. Each topic is rich with scripture, illustrated with spectacular graphics, will answer your toughest questions, and add confidence to your faith. Both sets come in 4 one-hour presentations on 2 videotapes in an attractive album. Each is a $60 value, but they're only $39.95 each. Call our resource line anytime at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747 for God's Mighty Men and Prophecy's Final Four. That's 800-835-6747.